gives that impression that it was a successful phone call. We all want peace in Ukraine. Obviously, we have to make sure that Ukraine is in the best possible position.
Both Rutte and Hegseth agreed that NATO's European allies must spend more on their own defence budgets. I'm Karen Shamas.
Three more Israeli hostages may be on the verge of a homecoming. Hamas says it will free the captives on Saturday as part of the Gaza ceasefire. Southern California bracing for potentially devastating flooding and mudslides as an atmospheric river coming in off the Pacific brings heavy rains to areas previously swept by wildfires. A space heater too close to a pile of clothing thought to have started a fire left two people dead at a Buddhist temple in New York City. On Wall Street this hour, the Dow is trading about 50 points higher. More on these stories at townhall.com.
For many out on the streets with no address, when the hope dies, it's hard to be found.
You get these people off our streets now.
It's not that simple.
They're human beings. Where are they meant to go?
Homelessness could happen to anyone.
I don't know how much longer I can do this.
Their story is our story.
You never know in life why things work out the way they do.
Never give up.
No Address, starring William Baldwin, Ashanti, and Ty Pennington, in theaters February 28th. Get your tickets at noaddressmovie.com.
You know, a lot of times you have to choose between something high quality or something that saves you money, but if you can get both, why not? Especially when it comes to health care, and that's MediShare. You get both. The typical family saves $500 a month and they love it. The customer satisfaction rate for MediShare is double that of the typical health insurance plan. Double. So yeah, really, you can save a ton and like it better. Call now. You can get a price within 2 minutes. Call 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE.
Good morning. It's 10:03. I'm Maggie Hunter with the latest headlines from the WCBM Maryland News Center, brought to you by Safe Retirement Solutions. Lawmakers are discussing a bill that would ban forever chemicals and pesticides. Legislation currently making its way around the state capitol would eliminate the use of pesticides that have such chemicals known as polyfluoroalkyl substances as the main ingredient in them. Local health leaders are supporting the bill, saying getting rid of such pesticides would be especially helpful to vulnerable populations that might be close to where they are used, such as schools and hospitals. Baltimore drivers now have the ability to reserve parking spots around town. The city is partnering with Park Mobile to allow people to reserve spots in off-street parking sites like garages. Under the system, drivers using the Park Mobile app and can find parking spots near where they are going. Stein on Sports and the exclusive WCBM Weather Channel forecast next.
WCBM News is brought to you by Safe Retirement Solutions. Call Rod Barowie at 410-266-1120. Call Rod Barowie now at Safe Retirement Solutions, 410-266-1120.
Do you own a business? Do you want to attract new customers to your business? WCBM can help take your business to new heights with a comprehensive advertising campaign with our station. At WCBM, we can design an effective advertising campaign utilizing radio ads, digital ads, and social media. Your account executive at WCBM is an expert in creating a customized campaign that will deliver results. Visit WCBM.com or call to get started on your advertising campaign today.
Now, Gary Stein on sports.
Talking a little Jackson Holliday as spring has sprung for the Orioles in Sarasota. Holliday, of course, won't report till next week, but Oriole fans will get a sneak peek at the young second baseman. Bird's producing a video documentary on Holliday's rise to the majors. You can catch it on Masson tonight. Manager Brandon High talking about his young prodigy.
He's going to get every opportunity. He's going to get as many at-bats as possible. Love the defensive work he's done also. He made huge strides defensively there for us. Tough in your first year, change of position, 20 years old, trying to hit in the big league.
Holliday ended his rookie season batting 189 in 190 at-bats. NBA Jordan Poole pumped in 42 last night, but the Wiz squander a 19-point lead. They fall to the Pacers in overtime, 134-130, the final. A lot of college basketball happening tonight. Terps will be at Nebraska at 8:30 p.m. on the Big Ten Network. Head coach Kevin Willard talking about his big guy, Julian Reese.
He's been the best player in the Big Ten for the last month, hands down. I mean, you look at his numbers and what he's shooting, offense, rebound, his defense.
Reese out of Randallstown, averaging 17-10 in his last 11 games. Local college basketball, Towson puts its 10-game winning streak on the line. Tonight they take on Delaware at TU Arena. The Tigers' streak is the nation's second longest active, behind only Akron at 12 in a row. And finally, UMBC home tonight as well, hosting Binghamton. It's a homecoming for sophomore forward Gavin Walsh of the Bearcats. He's from Baltimore, prepped at Loyola Blakefield. Walsh, a rebounding machine. Second in the NCAA in defensive rebounds, seventh in total rebounds. Coming up in 30 minutes, it's the first full season for David Rubenstein. And that is Stein on Sports.
Planning your upcoming wedding or special event? Hilton Garden Inn in Owings Mills will create a menu for your special event and create a room block for your out-of-town guest. Enjoy their indoor pool and fitness center. Wake up to a delicious cup of coffee and made-to-order breakfast at the grill. Reach out to Lori Ruby in the sales department for your upcoming catering and events. Call 410-654-0030. You can always count on Hilton Garden Inn, Owings Mills, making it right.
At 10:07.
Stay connected and informed.
10:07, here's the exclusive WCBM Weather Channel forecast.
Some vitamin D while you can. Partly cloudy, breezy today. It is a mild day, 50 the high. Tomorrow, sunny and cooler, 40. Some rain Saturday afternoon, 42 the high Saturday. I'm meteorologist Terry Smith from the Weather Channel for Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Currently 44 in Bel Air, 43 in Halethorpe, and 44 in Columbia. I'm Maggie Hunter, 680 WCBM News.
Stay connected and informed.
Everybody, listen carefully.
Download the WCBM 680 mobile app at WCBM.com. Kim Klasick Live starts now on Talk Radio 680, WCBM, and 99.9 FM in Harford County.
All right, good morning to you. Happy Thursday. You're almost to Friday. You're almost to the weekend, so get excited about that. This first hour, we've had a quite interesting conversation, and it's a local story coming out of Baltimore City, and specifically Baltimore City Sheriff's Office. Sheriff Sam Cogan, which a lot of people supported during his race in 2022 against the former sheriff, John Anderson, who had been sitting in that seat, believe it or not, since 1989. And Sam Cogan, he ran for office, and his big platform piece was fixing the system, right? He said it was outdated. They were still, you know, pushing a lot of papers. There were file cabinets. It was just, he was saying it was a mess. Things were all over the place. And there were many deputies and many that worked in the sheriff's office that agreed with Sheriff Sam Cogan. And so it did sound like that there was, you know, a lot of modernization that had to happen over there at the sheriff's office. And then also he stepped in a leadership position where he made sure that the sheriff's office was working well with the Baltimore City Police Department, especially when handing out and serving many warrants. If you recall, there were many warrants that weren't served on time. And because of that, it led to a few deaths across the city. And so that was a big story, and Sheriff Cogan and his sheriff deputy stepped up in that role. The big problem now is, as they were stepping up in this role, of course, they were getting overtime pay. And like many of you called in, I've got some text messages to read as well. Nobody suspected that having overtime pay for these deputies was suspicious at all, because they are working overtime, and they definitely deserve to be paid for their time. The problem is the pay code that the Sheriff Sam Cogan emailed to his deputies, that pay code had somehow malfunctioned. It did not work properly. Well, it worked all right, I should say. It didn't work correctly. So if you worked 90 hours a week as a deputy, you would most likely make about $3,000. But for some reason, with this pay code, it took the pay from $3,000 to $11,000. And in my view, this is a bigger question with, you know, someone's character, right? Their integrity. Like, you take this much money in overtime pay, and you know, this had been going on for 3 months, apparently. And it took that long for someone to come forward. And like I said before the break, they came forward to the inspector general. She received this complaint from, you know, a whistleblower. It wasn't as if, you know, that whistleblower, you know, was able to work with Sheriff Cogan or somebody else. And so you wonder, was that the first phone call this person made? Did they make the call to the inspector general because they knew that they weren't going to get anywhere in the sheriff's office? Did they feel the sheriff was just too busy? Did this person bring it to the sheriff and he just, you know, shrugged his shoulders? See, there's lots of questions that have to be answered here. Mark did call in. Mark, earlier, thank you for the question, where did this pay code come from? And so during the break, I was trying to figure it all out, and I saw here what says, Kogan maintained the OIG office that he was unaware of the workday misconfiguration when he issued the order, and said that he did it to help resolve the office's difficulty in hiring and retaining employees. During the investigation, Sam Kogan said that the order was intended to be a stopgap to raise deputies' pay until the city agreed to discuss raising salaries. And we talked about that earlier. Sam Kogan did mention that, you know, Mayor Brandon Scott wasn't willing to raise the pay. Now, this was always an issue as well, okay? You know, Mayor Scott received $641 million with the American Rescue Plan money, and he sent $50 million of it and more to Safe Streets. Meanwhile, our sheriffs, our patrol officers, BPD, there's so many people where their salary does not equal the amount of work that they're doing, you know, not even in the slightest. And that's another issue. So here's what Sam Kogan said. Mark, this goes back to your question. It says, we were looking for a legal way to give these guys some more money so they would come to work and so we could recruit people and so we could serve the city. Kogan says, and so we found that clause G was that. So apparently there's a clause G that allowed him to do that. He said it was the legal way to do it. And this is what Sam Kogan told authorities during this investigation. Now, again, this went on for 3 months. I've got Will in Baltimore. Will, you wanted to weigh in?
Good morning. Good morning, Kim. Great show.
Oh, hey, Will. How are you?
But let me say this. Hey, how's it going? It's Will Hannah.
Good.
Let me say this. This is a result of politics. So if you look at who did the state's attorney's office, they had the same issue where they did not get funding from City Hall because of politics, because of who the state's attorney endorsed for mayor.
Right.
Remember that?
Yep.
The same thing. Who did Sam Kogan endorse for mayor?
Sheila Dixon.
So when those funds then got withheld by City Hall and said, you know, we're not going to give you any money now because of who you supported politically. The sheriff did what he had to do to try to make up the difference in the funding that they did not get from the city because of the politics of the mayor.
Well, that's such
and
a great point. Yeah.
If you're the mayor that says you want to increase public safety in Baltimore, why don't you fund the state's attorney's office and the sheriff's office that can assist BPD? And will you put this $50 million in Safe Streets money but didn't give $200,000 to the state's attorney's office? Make that make sense. The other thing, and I agree with all the previous callers, but let me say this on your next topic about the teachers union, because didn't we just go through this with Thornton?
Yeah.
Or yep. Could I be wrong?
Yep. Well, you're absolutely correct in that. Dr.
And
Thornton went through the same thing. Thank you so much, Will. I appreciate you. That was Will Hanna, by the way, in case you didn't recognize the voice. You know, he has worked, done a lot of work in Park Heights in building that community. And he knows a lot about how they play politics because he puts in the work and he's helping a lot of young men. Yet he's on the outside of what we call like the crew, right? Because he's doing the work and he's not going about it, I guess, the way that some people in office wants him to go away about it. But he's got positive results. But they can't see that from what, you know, Will Hanna's been doing. But besides that, he does make a great point here. If you go back through Sam Kogan, the sheriff's Facebook page, he was there with Sheila Dixon, and he did support Sheila Dixon for mayor. Now, we also learned, and Will Hanna brought it up, State Attorney Ivan Bates had to go to Eric Barron and the feds, if you recall, to get money for the wiretapping that took down this big, you know, I guess, drug trafficking scheme. And that was interesting because, remember, you had State Attorney Ivan Bates and Mayor Scott. They were kind of fighting, but not fighting. You know what I mean? They were, like, ignoring each other, not inviting each other, like, you know, to their press conferences. They were holding different press conferences to talk about the same topic. Very odd, right? Very odd. And you could see that there's a lot of tension there. But I thought it was interesting because, you know, Mayor Brandon Scott, he's been taking credit for, you know, the decrease in homicides, non-fatal shootings. You know, the crime and violence is still high. I don't know why he acts like it's not. It's still high. But the non-fatal shooting number and the homicide number is down. Now, you know that I believe that a lot of this is because it's spread out across the state, but we're not going to talk about that. State Attorney Ivan Bates, in my belief, is a good prosecutor. He's got great prosecutors in his office. So they are locking up a lot of these individuals with the help of U.S. Attorney Eric Barron. And that, you know, goes to my other piece today, Eric Barron did put in his resignation as the Trump administration is taking over. So he is no longer going to be the U.S. attorney. Sad to see him go, to be honest with you, even though he's, you know, we don't agree, I'm sure, politically on anything. He did do a great job locking up these violent criminals. So I'm a fan of Eric Barron, and I hate to see him leave, but he did announce his resignation yesterday. But with this, you had State's Attorney Ivan Bates. He did end up, and some people thought it was petty that he was going back and forth with Banger Scott by using the media. I didn't see it that way. I didn't see it that way at all, because I think it is right for State's Attorney Ivan Bates to call out Mayor Scott and say, look, you didn't give us the money that we needed. And for Governor Wes Moore, because remember, he's been taking a lot of the claim there for, you know, the decrease in homicides and non-federal shootings in Baltimore as well. If you recall, he's been at some of these press conferences with Mayor Scott. So he's been patting himself on the back and putting this on his resume, saying that he's been helping the effort in, you know, Baltimore City. But if State's Attorney Ivan Bates, he's come forward multiple times and said, look, I've been depending on the feds for money to get some of these cases closed. So for Governor Moore and Mayor Brandon Scott to stand there and say that it's GVRS and we're helping and this is we're part of the reason that the number's down. No, you're not. No, you are not. Okay, it goes back to those that are actually putting in the work. And as Will Hanna pointed out, thank you, Will, for that one. Sam Cogan, the sheriff, did, in fact, endorse Sheila Dixon. But then I would have to go back and I would say, okay, you know, life's about choices. Life is about choices. And I thought that was very, can I say ballsy? Am I allowed to say ballsy here? I already said it. You know, it was very ballsy on the side of the sheriff and State's Attorney Ivan Bates to even jump in to endorse Sheila Dixon, because it was always a very tight race. And so when I saw, remember, I got upset a lot of it, you know, I'm lying. I got upset a lot. I got upset because you had the fire union and, you know, Josh over there, Josh Fannin. I was upset that they endorsed Mayor Brandon Scott, because at that point I was saying, stay out of it. Don't do it. Because I do believe that Mayor Scott, in his own mind, he has his own agenda, and I don't see him, you know, giving money to certain departments unless they do exactly what he wants them to do and what they're told. I don't think that he's a good mayor. I don't think that he's governing properly. I just don't see it. To put so much money into Safe Streets, where are the results out of Safe Streets? I've seen FBI raids. I've seen where there's been guns and drugs recovered. I've seen where Safe Street workers are being killed. Those, if you think about it, those investigations are still ongoing. That's not a little suspicious to anybody else? We don't know who's killed these Safe Street workers? Not one of them? Come on, man. This is, that's wild. It's wild. And so I agree that that's probably how Sam Cogan, the sheriff, ended up in this position where he had to get this pay code. And again, it says, and we found that Clause G was the legal way to do it. Again, that was Sheriff Cogan's quote in this article. And I don't know how they recouped this money. That was over a year ago. And I know some, you know, we had a caller. Thank you, Brian, from Columbia, crawling in. I'm glad that you're listening to the show. I know you've got options. But it's like, how do you go about recouping that money from over a year ago? It's, I know you're saying, okay, they're going to have to, you know, start to pay it back little by little. I think there's going to be a fight there. I think there's going to be a fight. And I think then they're going to have to try to figure out, okay, if the $11,000 was too much, right, obviously, with the overtime pay, what was the amount that Sheriff Sam Cogan was trying to give these deputies? Because I didn't see that listed at all. Was he giving them 30%? You know, in overtime? Was he upping it to 40%? That none of that is made clear here either. So who's to say what it was supposed to be in the beginning? I've got Gary in Lutherville. Gary, you wanted to weigh in?
Yes, I did. First, good morning, and morning. You look good on Newsmax. All I can say is
thank
you go.
You. Thank you. I appreciate that.
I'm a retired law enforcement officer, and anybody that's calling in that says they're law enforcement, that this is a mistake, this is an error, they're in the wrong. First of all, any officer working overtime would report immediately to their boss that they were shorted $10 in overtime.
Yeah.
That's how close they watch their overtime. And nobody can work 40-hour hours more overtime. It's impossible. If the state or the IRS mistakenly sent you a refund that you didn't deserve, that you didn't earn, you'd have to pay it back. And just from the moral point of view, you got something that you didn't earn, you didn't work for, they'd need to pay it back.
Yeah, yeah.
So they're all in cahoots from the top down. It's like taking a bribe, taking money under the table. All that's illegal.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you this, Gary, and I appreciate you calling in. I thank you for your service. Do you believe that Sheriff Kogan should step down?
I think he should be fired and put in jail because what he was doing was unethical and illegal.
Yeah. He did. Go ahead.
If in your budget you're not getting overtime because you're having a pissing contest with the mayor's office and you find another way and it's wrong, first of all, right or wrong, he's in charge of the department. He's got to go.
Yeah.
And everybody took the money without wanting to return it. They need to go.
It is a tough one there. Gary, thank you so much for weighing in. I appreciate you. I hope you have a great weekend.
Keep doing what you're doing.
Thank you. Thank you. I mean, it's tough. It's tough. Right now, of course, if you haven't already, take part in the poll on WCBM.com. Poll question of the day brought to you by Renovation Real Estate. Should Sheriff Kogan resign? So far, 88% of you say yes, 12% of you say no. When we get back, I'll read your text to wrap this up.
Joe Hartman here, owner of Perry Hall Investment Group. Now is a great time to sell your unwanted property for top dollar with no commissions or fees. Call me today at 410-989-5200. That's 410-989-5200.
Guess what? Discover's accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. You heard right, 99%. If you don't think so, maybe it's time to face facts. You're stuck in the past. Based on the February 2024 Nielsen report, discover.com/creditcard.
These are more than just the sounds of a safe place to go after school. These are the sounds of interest being ignited and of mentors making an impact. At Boys and Girls Clubs, we don't do just one thing. We do whatever it takes to meet the needs of every kid who comes through those doors. Because whatever it takes is what it takes to build great futures. Great futures start here.
WCBM reaches all types of entrepreneurs, businesses, associations, and specialists. Now is your chance to explain live, by the way of your own radio show, exactly how your business or association can benefit the WCBM listener through your own show. You control the dialogue. You control the subject matter. You control your own results. This is a great opportunity that WCBM can give to you. For more information, call Andy Grimshaw or visit WCBM.com.
The Rob Carson Show.
Elon Musk is doing the audit. He reports to the President of the United States, and the President of the United States is the guy who said, shut it down, and it's only going to get worse for the people who have abused the system and done nothing to make life in our country better. Every metric of quality of life in America has descended into hell, and now the people who did it are going to pay for what they did, and they're going to lose their jobs.
The Rob Carson Show, weekdays noon to 3 on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
All right, we're wrapping up this conversation here, but you can go to WCBM.com and partake in the poll. It'll be up all show long, and that is the question of the day, brought to you by Renovation Real Estate. Should Sheriff Kogan resign? A little bit of movement here. 89% of you now say yes, 11% say no. Looks like there's a lot of people that believe that Sheriff Kogan should step down over this. Going to the text messages here, I've got Doug. Doug says, morning, Kim. The sheriff should be fired. There's got to be accountability here. Doug, looks like you are not the only one that believes that one. Wow, I got a lot of texts here. Sorry, I'm just getting to it. Alex says he's corrupt, he's got to go, and he knows it. You know, he told the IG, Isabel Cumming, he said that he had no idea that the pay code wasn't working correctly. And I did note, because the IG has done an interview on this, she said that she didn't see anything, you know, whether it's through his email or text, because she's been investigating this. She didn't see where he would have known that it was giving the deputies three times their pay. But, you know, I guess you still don't know which conversations were being had verbally. That's what I said, you know, earlier. The whistleblower, whoever this person is that came forward to tell the IG about this, I don't believe that that's the first person they went to. I don't believe that that's the first call. Unless there was somebody on the other team, right? On the Mayor Brandon Scott team that found out and they went straight to the IG. That could have happened. A lot of what you see in Maryland, unfortunately, it is based on politics. And it's not that it's the Republicans and Democrats really fighting, because Republicans, unfortunately, we don't have a ton of leverage and a ton of weight to throw around. But you see that Democrats are usually fighting each other, and it's usually the very progressive wing of the party versus the moderate Democrats. And obviously, you know, I cheer on the moderate Democrats because I think the progressives are absolutely ridiculous in some of their ideas and how they spend money. But you can't play politics, you know, with money, right? You can't play politics with lives. We see that, how they go after some of these criminals. So that is an issue. Let's see. Patrick texted in. He says, hi, just to Dan, how was the error caught? Oh, now you probably heard, Patrick. It was because someone came forward. Susan says, morning, Kim. The pay going forward will have to be adjusted over a period of time. Yes, yeah, Susan, that's what many people also agree, that that's going to have to happen. Let's see. Mac texted in. Mac, I haven't seen your name before here, so welcome to the show. Mac says, sounds like it might qualify as a RICO case. You know, Mac, it's a serious issue. It is. So I'm not quite certain, but you might know more than I do. Let's see. Jones says, this is a pay code. Who created it and what, and for what use? Yeah, Joan, the only thing we've gotten from that is, you know, this is the way that Sheriff Sam Cogan said it was the legal way for him to be able to give his deputies overtime. And here's the thing, and Will Hanna, you know, pointed this out, because it's probably because it's, you know, because Sheriff Cogan endorsed Sheila Dixon. But why would the mayor penalize the entire sheriff's department just because Sam Cogan endorsed Sheila Dixon? Like, you know what I mean? Like, so you don't up the salaries because you and Sam Cogan have a beef? I mean, talk about immature. I hope that's not the case, because those sheriffs, they're helping him serve warrants in a timely manner. And again, when warrants are not served in a timely manner, we saw more than three times in the past 5 years where that led to someone's death, where that person should have been served and behind bars. So I hope he wouldn't play that game. Let's see. Mario on Eastern Shore says, Kim, it's not right what they did, but imagine whoever comes forward was going to have 93 other officers very mad at them. Peer pressure, I'm sure, played a role. Well, there you go, Mario. I didn't think about that part. Yes, people would be, I'm sure, worried. Right? Because it's, you know, it's a fraternity, right? It's like everyone's supposed to stick together. So I should understand that one. Russ says he shouldn't resign. He should be fired. Everyone who received too much pay knew it. It should be required to agree to a pay plan to reimburse the city or face prosecution for theft. None of them are so stupid that they didn't know they were being overpaid. Russ, a lot of people feel that way as well. Let's see. Clay in Owingsville says, Kim, good morning. In my understanding, the reporter's story that you played, that the base salary for sheriff deputies is less than $15 an hour. That's how it sounded. If that was true, that's awful. Yeah, I'll go back and look at that again, Clay. I hope not either. All right, coming up next, we're going to talk about the teachers union for sure.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason. Three more Israeli hostages apparently on the verge of going home. Hamas says it will free the captives on Saturday as part of the Gaza ceasefire agreement. President Trump says he'll be naming names later today when he details where wasted taxpayer dollars have been going. A Boston federal judge allowing Mr. Trump's federal worker buyout plan to move ahead, lifting a temporary restraining order that blocked the plan. The Trump administration tells Ukraine to give up some of the territory that's been claimed by Russia. And California is bracing for an atmospheric river. It could unleash flooding. Portland, Oregon, treating its streets with thousands of gallons of liquid de-icer. Emergency shelters open in Oregon and Idaho ahead of an expected snow and ice storm. On Wall Street, the Dow's 97 points higher, while the Nasdaq is up 147. More details, srnnews.com.
There she is, founder and CEO. High five.
Dave can't stop celebrating with every business owner in town.
All right, Baker Man. High five.
He's sharing the excitement of big savings with the Comcast Business 5-year price lock guarantee.
Whoa, up top, bike shop.
Yeah. It's 5 years of gig speed internet.
Quick, high five.
5 years of advanced security.
5 years.
And 5 years of a great rate that won't change.
Yeah, law partners. Chamberlain, Messenthorpe, Dubois.
All from the company with 99.9% network reliability. Switch today and get the 5-year price lock guarantee.
5 years!
It's back, but only for a limited time.
Woo!
Powering 5 years of savings, powering possibilities. Comcast Business.
Can't forget you, voiceover guy.
Ah, thanks, Dave.
High five!
Ends 3/9/25. Guaranteed rate applies to monthly service charge for new customers on qualifying internet bundle, excluding taxes and fees. Other restrictions apply.
Now, Gary Stein on sports.
The first full season of David Rubenstein's ownership gets underway today. As the Orioles begin their spring workouts, Rubenstein, of course, taking over from the Angelos family and infusing some energy into the franchise. Here's manager Brandon Hyde.
There's a breath of fresh air a little bit of everybody's uplifted. These guys are, you know, they've been incredible to us and very uplifting and really invested in our team.
In terms of Orioles payroll, despite not getting that ace or headline free agent, the Orioles' spending increased to $151 million this year. That's 15th in the major leagues, up from 109 last year when they were 22nd in the majors. Maryland and Nebraska tonight in the Cornhusker State. Maryland 18-6 overall. They're 8-5 in conference play. Head coach Kevin Willard says his team, full of transfers, still learning the Big Ten.
This is a confident group, which is great. But sometimes they take the foot off the gas a little bit. I think what they're learning is you cannot do that in this conference.
Terps did beat the Huskers in College Park 3 weeks ago. Jacoby Gillespie led the way with 22. Coming up in 30 minutes, Brandon Hyde talks Gunnar Henderson. And that is Stein on Sports.
Attention all kitchen and bathroom modelers, free expert design service and guaranteed fit. Chesapeake Kitchen Wholesalers is the partner you need. Our design showroom and wholesale pricing assures a great client experience to beat your competition. Call 855-WE-DESIGN or go to ChesapeakeKitchens.com.
You still might see a shower too briefly this morning, but we're on our way to some sunshine. Turning out partly cloudy, it is breezy, and warming up to near 50 today. Temperatures at night, though, on the chilly side, mid to upper 20s. Sunny tomorrow, a cool afternoon, 40 the high. Another round of rain heads our way for the weekend, Saturday and Sunday. I'm meteorologist Terry Smith from the Weather Channel for Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
It's time to ditch big wireless. Pure Talk gives you unlimited talk, text, and plenty of data for just $25 a month on America's most dependable 5G network. Switch today. Just dial #250 and say keyword switch now to save 50% off your first month with Pure Talk.
If better health, more energy, and detoxifying your body are some of your priorities this year, get Active Liver today. You can find Active Liver in stores at your local CVS or online at Amazon or newnordicusa.com.
Retirement, it's almost here. Are you ready? Join Mike DePaula and Sarah Flora of Flora and DePaula Wealth Partners for SWAT, Retirement Strategy Hour. Saturdays at 2 on Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Investment advisory services made available through AE Wealth Management LLC, a registered investment advisor.
Listen for 3 hours every day for the most important local and national news, issues, and topics, starting at 6 a.m. with The Morning Drive. And check back frequently so you don't miss a thing on Talk Radio 680 WCBM and 99.9 FM in Harford County.
All right, man, it's half the show is already gone. Look at that. We were talking about this story out of the Baltimore Sheriff's Office. We'll continue to keep our eyes on it. I did get a text before the break from Clay at Owings Mills. Clay, you wanted to know whether or not the base salary for a sheriff deputy was $15 an hour. Turns out, and I looked it up, that pay code that they typed in was supposed to give them an extra $15 an hour. So
So they knew very well that they should not have had a pay go from $3,000 for 90 hours a week to $11,000. I mean, you know, even if you don't know basic math, you still know that that's way more than $15. But thank you for asking that question, because I had to go back and look for that as well. So yes, they make more than $15 an hour. Thank goodness. Thank goodness. Let's see, a couple more texts on this before we move on. Keith says, Kim, normally there is a payroll code for overtime, but it's not for the regular employees to use. There are usually layers of approval, starting with the supervisor. This sounds like the individual deputies were just given carte blanche to pay themselves overtime. They should have to pay back every dime immediately. Yeah, Keith. And I look, I understand people saying pay it back. I just don't think they have it. I don't think they have it. And I know some people are like, well, I don't care if they don't have it. Well, look, if you're paying from $3,000 to $11,000, do you think that they're just sitting on that $8,000? and that happened again for 3 months this went on. I'm going to go ahead and say, I'm going to take a wild guess. They don't have it. They don't have it. Their kids had a great Christmas, though, right? Oh, man. Tim says, waste, fraud, and abuse are rampant every single place that is funded by taxpayer money. Yes, I work for the state of Maryland. Yeah, Tim, it is. It's sad that it's like this. But as one of our callers pointed out, we need DOGE everywhere. You know, there are so many people that are very upset, and we'll get into this, how the Democrats on Capitol Hill are still protesting against Elon Musk and finding this waste, fraud, and abuse in the federal government. But it's like, you know, they expect everybody and the taxpayers to be fine with the fact that they're wasting our money. it's a really bizarre fight that they're having. And, you know, I know we just had the election cycle, but there's no way voters aren't looking at somebody like, you know, my former opponent, Johnny O, and thinking, dude, why are you so upset about an audit possibly being taken place? You know, you just got there. You're a freshman, right? You're a rookie. We don't think that you were taking money from the Department of Treasury. So why would you be out there? It's bizarre, isn't it? So it's like you're out there because you don't want to find the waste, fraud, and abuse, because you are probably thinking of ways that you could you could fraudulently use the system. And now you're there, and, you know, all of this is blowing up, and now you're pissed off because you were hoping to get your little check. That's what it looks like. And any independent voter, right, say it's not a Democrat or a Republican, any independent voter in the second district would look at Johnny now and say, dude, what people were saying about you was right. That's the only way, that's the only conclusion I could come to by you protesting, you know, a little bit of transparency. That's the only conclusion I would have. All right, moving on. I wanted to start a fight with the teachers union. That's what I did. I went on their Facebook page, the Baltimore Teachers Union. I did. I'm an awful person. This fight's going to get, it's probably going to get wild. And I'm fine with that. But the teachers union right now, they're still saying that they believe that apparently we should still fund the Kerwin Commission / blueprint. We don't have the money. We don't have the money. We have a $3 billion deficit that we're staring at. You've got our state senators and delegates in Annapolis trying to figure all this out, even though many of the Democrats, they're the reason how we got here. Okay, you've got the governor that still doesn't want to, you know, trash his climate change initiatives. This is going to cost about $1 billion, right? All the windmills and everything else he wants to put up. It's a mess. It's a mess. Well, on top of this mess, the teachers union is saying, well, no, you promised us that we were going to give the teachers a raise. I got some audio here from Chris Pabst with Project Baltimore. Take a listen.
Jim Brochin, for 16 years, represented Baltimore County in the Maryland State Senate.
Yes.
The Democrat, who left office in 2019, knows how Annapolis works and who holds the power. And right now, he says the Maryland State Education Association, Maryland's largest teachers union, appears to be in charge.
I mean, the power they have over this Democratic legislature is astounding.
Brochin believes that power held by MSEA is now bankrupting the state via the blueprint for Maryland's future.
This blueprint for Maryland is a financial disaster that's going to take the state down. And somebody's got to stand up and say, enough, and nobody is doing it.
The blueprint for Maryland's future passed in 2021. The law pumps billions of additional state and local tax dollars into public education every year. The law, in part, increases teacher salaries and expands pre-K. It also doubles what's known as teacher collaboration time, which Brochin says is the single biggest financial blow to taxpayers, which, when fully implemented, will cost more than $1 billion a year.
You're taking the budgetary issues in Maryland and you're largely placing it on one issue.
Yeah, it is. It is.
Currently, Maryland teachers get 20% of their day for collaboration time, which is about the national standard, according to the National Council on Teacher Quality, a D.C.-based think tank. Collaboration time is used for lesson planning, training, or helping students individually. The blueprint doubles teacher collaboration time over the next 8 years to 40%. Proponents argue giving educators more time to collaborate will help teachers teach better.
40% means that almost half a day they're collaborating rather than teaching.
Which will cost taxpayers, because if teachers teach less, more teachers are needed to fill classroom time. According to state estimates, if collaboration time is doubled, Maryland will need 25% more teachers, or about 15,000 statewide.
All right, that's Chris Pabst with Fox 45, and he's got Project Baltimore, where he dives into all this waste, fraud, abuse with the school system, right? He's basically DOGE for the school system. What's interesting about this is that the teachers want to make no less than $60,000 a year. And I can see that. I can see that. I would think that many people feel the same way. But here's some of the issues. You've got administrators within the school system, and they were giving us some of the numbers. For every 10 students, there's like an administrator. Could you imagine that? And we talked about the administrative buildings across the state, one of them being at 200 North Avenue in Baltimore City. And many people have pointed out that those administrators all drive either Audis, Mercedes, BMWs, you name it. They've got the nicest cars you could possibly imagine. And, you know, believe it or not, at 200 North Avenue, even though we have some schools that don't have heat or some schools that don't have AC, at 200 North Avenue, it feels great in there. It feels great. They've got heat, they've got air conditioning, and that building is just as old as a lot of these school buildings that they tell us that we can't upgrade the system for HVAC. Isn't that interesting? It's interesting, isn't it? Yeah, I thought I'd throw that out there. But with the teachers union, and it's sad because I said I chose violence with the teachers union. I wrote on their Facebook page. You know what I did? I just looked at it and they blocked me. I wanted a fight, darn it. I wanted a fight, but they blocked me. And so my comment, I guess because there were people that were liking my comment and responding to it, I said, demanding money that we don't have is wild. Do you not have a math teacher that can help you out with some of this math? And if you heard that from Chris Pabst's report, they want more time to collaborate with one another. Where does your mind go on that one? I immediately thought about the teacher's lounge, right? They want more time to hang out at the teacher's lounge, eating donuts, and chit-chatting about what they could do as far as curriculum in the classroom. We don't have money for it. Sorry, not sorry. We don't have the money. Now, something else that was brought up in that report, and again, that was Jim Brochin. He sat down with Chris Pabst. Interesting enough, I thought Jim Brochin was going to get that Baltimore County executive seat. They gave it to Kathy Klausmeier because in the Democrat Party, they select, you know, who they want in certain areas. I've noted that one. But Jim Brochin, if you recall, back in 2018, he only lost to Johnny Ushesky by like 17 votes or something crazy like that. So I thought it would make sense to put Jim Brochin in the Baltimore County executive seat because obviously a lot of voters wanted him to begin with. But they went with Kathy Klausmeier and took her out of her Senate seat. Again, that wouldn't have left a vacancy in the Senate. It wouldn't have left now a vacancy with the delegate seat now that Carl Jackson is now in the Senate seat. So it actually made more sense, in my view, even for, you know, playing musical chairs, to leave Kathy Klausmeier in her Senate seat because she said she doesn't want to run for Baltimore County executive in 2026. That's what she said. And so then you had Jim Brochin, who wasn't sitting in any seat because he's a former delegate. Why wouldn't you just put him in that place? Again, all these things ridiculous. But this is how the Democrat Party works. And what was also pointed out there, as which I was getting to, is Brochin pointed out that if you look at the FEC reports for many of the elected Democrat officials, you will see that many of them can't say no to the teachers union and this Kerwin slash blueprint, okay? Because a lot of these people have, they were elected because of the teachers union. I said that about Wes Moore. I don't think Wes Moore would have beat Tom Perez if it wasn't for the teachers union. I don't think he would have beat Peter Francho if it wasn't for the teachers union. But here we are. And so when you hear, whether it's the State of State address, whether it's any kind of, you know, elaborate speech from the governor, he always mentions the teachers union. Now, even in a State of State of address, what did he talk about? Getting teachers from other states to come live in, you know, the Maryland area, because he said we're short so many teachers. Many of you pointed out that that's, you know, there's no incentive, first of all, to live in Maryland. We're going to pay high taxes, possibly get carjacked at gunpoint by, you know, a 15-year-old. And then what else? High property taxes. Look, the fees he wants to put on Amazon and food delivery, the registration for your car, that fee. I mean, the whole thing. There's no incentive to come to Maryland. You would have to be crazy to move here, right? Everybody's trying to move out, and for good reason. But if, you know, if you're thinking about the way that he stated this in the State of the State address, basically what he was signaling was to the teachers union, like, hey, I'm going to go and recruit from other states, and we're going to put a lot of money into this recruitment, and we're going to get as many as we can to boost your membership, teachers union, right? And then what do you do when you're in a union? You pay your membership dues. So the teachers union, they're looking to get more money out of this deal too, right? So I'm glad that Brochin came forward and spoke to Chris Pass about this. But I think it is important that people understand that this is all political. It's all about politics. It's all about who's getting elected in the state. It's all about who's getting the teachers union endorsement. I am one to believe that you could nip a lot of this in the bud if the teachers union was no longer allowed to endorse any candidates. Think about what that would look like. I mean, it would make sense. I know they're not going to, you know, do that because all of these unions want to weigh in. And that's just kind of the nature of the game. But they do have a lot of power in Annapolis due to the fact that many Democrats that get elected in the state, the reason they win in their primary is because of the teachers union endorsement and all the money that they raise those particular candidates. I mean, how many times have you heard, you know, many in office talk about, well, it's, our education is so important, yet we've got some of the worst test scores in the entire country, very high per pupil spending, and the first thing they'll talk about is how important education is. It's like, well, it can't be that important because these kids aren't learning a darn thing. You don't seem to care about that piece of it. You just seem to be worried about putting more money into it. Let's see. We've got a text here from Doug. It says the average Maryland teacher salary last year was $80,000. Yeah, Doug, because there were, and I know in Baltimore County they did for sure. Remember they had the, they did raise a lot of the pay for many teachers across the state. If there are any teachers making under 60 grand, I would think that there's probably not many. And I think that you could up the pay and get that taken care of without having to go through the Kerwin Commission. It only makes sense. Well, anyways, I just wanted to bring that to you because the teachers union, and this is me, I was trying to fight with them. They wouldn't fight with me. They just blocked me. How dare you not have this fight? How dare you? This is the post that I commented on, by the way. They posted this. This is the Baltimore Teachers Union on January 28th. It says, ninth grade math teacher Joseph, I'm going to mess up his last name, M-A-H-C-H, whatever that says, has a simple message for Maryland lawmakers. He says, fully fund the blueprint for Maryland's future. The Baltimore City teacher joined dozens of fellow American Federation of Teachers Maryland members Monday at their annual lobby night in Annapolis, where their main objective was to persuade lawmakers to stay the course and keep the 10-year education reform plan intact. It says, but the plan is facing pushback on several fronts as the Moore administration and some legislative leaders look for ways to close a projected $3 billion budget gap in fiscal year 2026. So they know about the budget deficit, right? They said, among other changes, an administration bill introduced last week would slow the increase in expected per pupil funding and would defer the expansion of collaborative time or the time teachers have outside the class for other schoolwork. Okay? Now, this is what the math teacher Joseph said to legislators on Monday. He says, "We came up with a plan, and now we are saying, man, never mind. We're not gonna pay for it." So it seems like a little backward. That's what Joseph said, okay, to the delegates. He says, "I teach 3 classes out of 4 period day." He said, "So increased planning time would be huge for me. It's a big, big deal." So he teaches 3 classes out of a 4 period day. And he needs more time to go over his curriculum, but he doesn't want to do it on his own time. He wants to do it on the school time and taxpayer dime. See what's going on here? Are you picking up what I'm putting down? Okay, so Joseph, even though he's a math teacher, he doesn't care that we're coming up against this deficit of $3 billion. And he doesn't care where the money comes from. He just wants to make sure that he gets more money as he plans for other classes during the day because he believes that it should not be done on his own time. It should be on the taxpayer time. Doesn't it sound like, you know, a lot of government employees that we've been hearing about lately? It really does. It really does. I'm sorry, Joseph, but you know what? You are a math teacher. And from my understanding that most teachers are teachers because you are passionate about teaching children. And I hope that your kids in your math class isn't one of these kids that we hear about often on national news that cannot do basic math. I hope that those aren't your kids. I really hope that they're not. But if you don't have positive results across the state, and number two, you know, it's tough. Yeah, jobs are tough. Times are tough for everybody. If we're facing a deficit, there's nothing we can do. Where do you want us to pull the money out of? You want to tax more of us, the taxpayers, so you can sit down in the teacher's lounge and have donuts with your friends and talk about your curriculum? I'm not paying for that, Joseph. Not doing it. We'll discuss where we get back.
Over the next few minutes, we'll discuss what federal employees on the verge of retirement need to be aware of. Mike Kinnett is the founder of ProStatus Financial here in Maryland. He's also a financial planner and estate planning attorney with a master's in tax. Mike, it's already tricky enough retiring from the federal government. Now we have the DOGE, Department of Government Efficiency, to factor in. How can this affect soon-to-be retirees? Well, that's a whole new thing to worry about.
And I know there's a lot of negative connotations to this whole thing, and there's a lot of concern about it. And on one hand, I understand the apprehension and fear we have, because how's it going to impact me personally? Am I going to be the person that's let go for whatever reason? I get that fear. Let's look at this as a positive thing, and how do we take that same concept and approach that they're taking with the government, how do we do that with our own personal retirement?
So positive thing, we get offered early retirement.
Well, absolutely, absolutely. Because if you've thought about getting out early, this is an opportunity that you don't get penalized for leaving early. So in order to be able to explore the option, pick up the phone and give us a call at 866-597-1040. For federal employees specifically, imagine if you have a plan in place that you know exactly what your income's going to be and what you're going to need, right? Mm-hmm. We could tell you the best 3 days. We could tell you how much time you're carrying over, what's going to count towards your sick leave and what's going to count for vacation time and how much you're going to be able to increase your years of service. We could add all that up for you and tell you exactly what that final paycheck's going to be. We could tell you the best day for you to retire. Absolutely.
Call ProStatus Financial today for a free federal benefits review. This is for the next callers who are federal employees and have saved $500,000 or more for retirement. Congratulations, and thank you for serving our country. Now call 866-597-1040 or at ProStatusFinancial.com and click on the Federal Benefits Review button at the top of the front page to schedule a free 15-minute phone conversation. That's ProStatusFinancial.com.
Advisory services offered through ProStatus Group, LLC, a registered investment advisor.
The Great One, Mark Levin, is on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
The Panama Canal. It's crucially important that people understand that this is a serious matter and that no president since Reagan has ever brought it up. Neither of the Bushes. No Republican in the Senate or the House has ever brought it up. Donald Trump brought it up. Donald Trump wants to do something about it.
Mark Levin, weeknights 7 to 10 on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
All right, we're talking about the teachers' union. We were talking about our state senators and delegates, and of course, our governor, Wes Moore, and many others. You know, they're going to have to tell the teachers' union no. They're going to have to say no. We don't have the money. We can't do it. Same thing with the climate change initiatives that we keep seeing out of the Moore administration. We don't have the money. I understand that you want to lessen the emissions in the air. I understand you think that you could be Mother Nature herself. I don't think that it's logical. I think it's the dumbest thing you probably ever come up with. But I understand that's what you're rolling with these days. The problem is we don't have the money. We don't have it at all. Real quick, I wanted to mention that there's still a lot going on Capitol Hill. We're going to get into some of these topics. Tulsi Gabbard, in case you missed it, she was confirmed just yesterday, and I'm excited about that. I posted a picture, and I think Sean Casey mentioned it during the morning drive. I posted a picture with Tulsi, and I did. I got to meet her about a year ago in Florida at some event, some Republican event. And I mentioned, you know, number one, Tulsi was a sweetheart. She was great. Her assistant that was with her, she was amazing. She was making sure that everybody, you know, whether if they wanted to give her business cards, the assistant was like, here's my contact, you know, reach out. You know, and at that time, I could see that because, you know, Governor Ron DeSantis was at this event and said President Trump was supposed to be at the event in person. And something happened where he had to do it like a Zoom call in. But Vivek Ramaswamy, there were a lot of people at this event. And you could tell that they were all kind of positioning themselves for the administration, right? You could tell that's where they wanted to go, was to be in the administration. And, you know, she was just so, you know, she was just, not only was she dynamic in the way that she spoke, but she was so personable, so genuine. You don't usually see that in politics, right? A lot of times when you go to events like that, people are going through the motions. Have you ever been at an event? And I really hate this. Have you ever been at an event and like people that you're there, like, you know, you're like, wow, I get to finally meet so-and-so. You know, they say never meet your heroes because it could be a horrible experience. Well, I see people when they go out and they speak at these events, there are so many people that will not take pictures or they won't go around and talk to people. I don't know. I think that's the wrong move. I mean, there's some people that follow you and everything that you do and support you and share all your things on social media. And I feel like the least you could do is shake their hand and say hello and learn their name and take a picture. That's the least you could do, right? So I try to do that all the time. But a lot of times I'll see people not do that. And so when I saw that Tulsi Gabbard was like right there meeting everybody, there were hundreds of people in this room, by the way, hundreds of people. And she stayed there for hours shaking hands. So I'm happy to see her confirmed. I also mentioned in the morning drive, with Sean Casey and Bruce Elliott this morning, you know, Tulsi Gabbard, she wasn't hated by the Democrat Party. She wasn't hated by her Democrat colleagues until she started calling the party out. I know there are a lot of people on the left that says that, you know, MAGA is a cult, right? You know, Trump supporters, it's a cult. You guys, you know, you just go along. Well, what does it look like on your side? Because, you know, you have so many Democrats now saying she's not qualified to be, you know, in federal government. But it's like, okay, well, she was qualified until she decided to call you guys out on your BS. She was qualified until she ran for the office of the presidency. Now, all of a sudden, she's not qualified because she's, you know, with the Trump administration, because she supports the Republican agenda. Now she's not qualified. Sounds like a cult to me. I don't know. All right, coming up next, we have so much to talk about. We're going to go right down to Capitol Hill. Elon Musk, President Trump, Doge, you name it. We're going to talk about it.
I'm Dr. Melissa Segev, one of the doctors and owners of Audiology Associates. Our group of doctors has been providing hearing.